reading is from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. And from chapter 10 and verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Thank you, Moira.
Encouragement. We need that these days, don't we? We came across the word permacrisis. A crisis used to be something and then that was over. But what have we got? We've got climate change, we've got the COVID, we've got the invasion of Ukraine, we have prices going up, we have the Middle East getting worse, we have fake news, we have all kinds of issues, cyber war and so on. And many people are feeling, oh dear, we need something to make a difference, something to give us a lift. And very simply, the early church was a church of encouragement. I wonder, do we feel encouraged? Because that is the biblical picture. Encouragement. What do we think of with encouragement? Do we think of, oh, jolly hockey sticks, that's grand? Well, let's look at what we see of encouragement in the New Testament. Encouragement. We'd like to be like that, where instead of thumbs down, it's thumbs up. Encouragement, it literally means to call alongside. To call alongside. And I'll give you an illustration. During the Second World War, Operation Pedestal was taking a convoy to Malta. Central to the convoy was the tanker Ohio. And what happened was that it was bombed and torpedoed, and it was beginning to sink, and it had lost steerage way because its rudder was jammed. So what did they do? Well, Captain Basson, the captain of the Ohio, he got in touch with the Ledbury, and the HMS Pram and HMS Penn came alongside and lashed themselves alongside the tanker. What happened? That prevented the tanker's back breaking, but it also gave it steerage way again. And perhaps that gives us an idea of encouragement, because that is literally the Greek of the word encouraged. And the letter to the Hebrews is summed up in the last chapter as a word of encouragement. I wonder, does anyone need to be encouraged? Do they feel, oh dear, I'm just cracking up? Or I've lost direction? I've lost steerage way, perhaps individually or perhaps as a congregation, as a time of uncertainty. Well, let's look at what we see in the New Testament about this note of encouragement, because it's very important. The situation then, let's look at it. The situation then was externally, problems with the mic? Is this better? One, two, three. One, two, three. I can even do four, five, six. Okay, right, we're talking about encouragement. The letter to the Hebrews was written to people in a difficult situation. We read that externally there was, it's called fightings without, there was active persecution of the early Christian church, the fragile church, and they felt under pressure. And internally, fears within. Some folk were drifting away, and the faithful Christians were beginning to get pretty wearied. That was the situation. And into that situation, this letter came as a word of encouragement to help them and to guide them. So let's see what we can learn from that. The letter starts with the first three or four verses talking about God, the God who planned the laws of science and nature, opting into this world, coming alongside us in Jesus Christ, taking human nature in himself, and therefore being able to understand our weaknesses, being able to understand when we're up against it. Then, the middle section talks about this God has done something. He died on the cross once and for all. There is a given message. And the third section, it starts with the passage that Moira read. Therefore, it all follows on from God of the universe alongside us in Christ, understanding he's done something once and for all. And therefore, everything else follows. Lots of practical things like hospitality, lots of practical things like encouraging people who are up against it. So that is the letter to the Hebrews. But it's also a template for our encouragement. Let's look at it. The first bit, God alongside us in Jesus. We need to get alongside people. God understands where we are at because he came alongside us in Jesus. Therefore, we need to understand where people are at. Cecily Saunders, who started the hospice movement, she started it because there was one man who was very ill with cancer. And she said to him, "Is there anything you'd like?" And he said to her, after a long pause, "I'd like someone to look at me as if they were really trying to understand me. Really trying to understand me." And very simply, this God who understands us is the God whom we seek to represent if we're Christians in our world today, where many people feel, oh dear, it's an awful job to get through to anybody, to get through to a live voice. You press button two if you call us for this. Your call is important to us. You are number 23 in the queue. And people feel, I'm just a number. The message of the Christian faith is that we're not just a number. I'm YH15O312B, according to some people, and S98A194311O, according to the number of a birth certificate. You know, but we're not just numbers. We're not just a biochemical mix. We're people who matter. When we're in touch with people who are not Christians, do they sense that here's people who are trying to understand us? The second bit was, God did something in Jesus once and for all. We have a given message. So often we listen to the news and it's bad news. We've got good news. Good news that yes, there's evil. Yes, there's hurting in the world. But death and evil don't have the final say.
I'm a Ross County supporter, and we don't often have very much to encourage us. We'll see what happens when they play one of the Dundee teams on this coming weekend. But you see the difference when your team has won. People celebrate. Do people sense that we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday? It's not just for Easter, but every Sunday there's a given message. God understands. Are we understanding people? There's a given message. And that is the basis of our encouragement. So we're not trying to wind up the elastic band of our spiritual enthusiasm, hoping it won't break, wondering how much more we can do. We're coming on the basis of a God who understands us, a God who's entrusted with us, to us, this wonderful message. So it's not a case of jolly hockey sticks. We have a word of encouragement for one another and a word of encouragement for the world in which we live. So let's look at this. Let's look at this, at the passage that Moyle read to us. I wonder, did you notice the connection between salad and the passage that was read? Yes? Lettuce, well done. Brownie points, marsh bar to you afterwards. Yes, a salad is never going to be the same to you again. We're going to look at what we see in chapter 10, where we see several things. First of all, let us draw near. Let us draw near. Central to the Christian faith is contact with God. And that's vital. This is what it's all about. It's a relationship, and we're in contact with God. And we need to keep this contact being fresh. I have a mobile phone, but I've got to keep on charging it. I've got to establish a connection for the source of power to recharge. And when we draw near to God, we're drawing near to a source of power. That's why we sang the hymn, "Be the Wind in the Sails." God is the power behind it. That's why we sang the second one just before we were reading, where we spoke of, we need your power, we need your strength, following Christ each day. So let us draw near. Let's think of worship as contact. Contact time. Contact time with God. I wonder, is that what we thought of as we came in today? Was it just a case of, I wonder who the guy is up front? Or, regardless of who's up front, God, I want to be in contact with you today. The next one is, hold unswervingly. There is a given message. Let's look at what he says here. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. When the roads are slippery, you've got to be very careful that you don't skid. And when life is pretty difficult, and life seems pretty slippery, we've got to be careful that we don't skid, that we hold the wheel properly. And so in our changing society, it's very important that we hold on to this given message and we don't tweak it. It's not a case of altering the message to make it relevant. It's showing that it already is. And that's the exciting thing. That is a given message that is relevant. We can always play snap between something in the Bible and the different situations that we meet personally and sometimes politically. There's a given message that's directly relevant. Next one. Consider how to spur people on. Now, to spur on is something that was used in the days of horseback, where they used the spurs to give the horse a kick to get it going. I remember we got a dining room table that had a bar underneath, and we had some relatively posh visitors,
and our two kids were sitting on the other side of the table, and I forgot about the bar underneath, and I kicked, meaning to kick them. And you know how charming children can be. Dad, you missed. You hit the table instead. Well, I wondered if I'm not suggesting that we go and kick people, but I wonder how we spur people on to help people, to encourage people, to give them a vision. I remember the optician in Inverness, where I first got glasses, they had this thing in the window: you can't be optimistic with a misty optic. Pretty corny. But I wonder to what extent we have a vision. I wonder to what extent we have a vision. I wonder to what extent we need to take the spiritual binoculars. Spiritual binoculars and focus in on God, that we may see Him more clearly. Focus in on God that we may sense Him. And to move on from that, to be able to explain this to others. Let us draw near. Let us hold on swimmingly. Let us consider how to spur one another on. And then, don't give up meeting together. If you have a barbecue and you have wood in it, and you poke into it, and you take a branch out, it affects the whole fire, but it affects most of all the branch that you've taken out, where it's inclined to go dead. We're meant to meet together in fellowship. And if we're unable to come, and for example, we're listening today in our own home to the recording of this, fellowship is very important. And the visitors from the church to include people is very precious. I wonder to what extent we notice people and encourage people and support people and see people on their own and go and chat to them and say, my name is Sandy, what's yours? Meeting together, we're different. People are very different. But the one thing about the Christian church is that we're united in Jesus Christ. And it's the Jesus we have in common that brings together people of all ages, all types, all nationalities, all ethnic groupings, all one in Christ Jesus. And therefore, don't give up meeting together. And the last one, let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us encourage one another, because something will happen. At the end of the day, whether at death or at the end of the world, it is Jesus we deal with. Christians know the final score. And people, it's back to football. The person knows the final score and it comes into the room and the rest are just watching the replay and they don't know what the score is going to be and they're quite nervous if things seem to be quite difficult. But the person who knows the final score, that they have a different attitude. And you see, so many people have so many worries, so many thoughts, but we know the final score. Something will happen. It's Jesus we deal with. And therefore, in the midst of the perma-crisis, and we wonder, what's going to happen next? We don't know when it'll happen, but we do know that it will happen. And therefore, Christian hope is not just a hope that we'll have a good week weather-wise. Hope, in that sense. Hope, in the Christian sense, is a note of expectation. A vibrancy, something that's positive. This is pointed out in Psalm 130, where he says, my hope is in the Lord. I hope like the watchman waiting for the morning. The night watchman, if you've ever been on night shift, and it's great when you see the first glimmerings of dawn. And you know that's going to happen. We don't know what the weather's going to be like. We don't know what the news is going to be like. But this hope we have is not just it may or may not. It is an expectation of a sure and certain hope. And that is so important.
Therefore,
a salad will never be the same again. Let's see if you, in a family, see if you can remember the 5 points when this lettuce is served. But I suppose we could end the sermon there. But we're not going to end the sermon there. We have the forward look until the day dawn. There was a film produced in 1942 at the very darkest days of the Second World War. And it was entitled, Till the Day Dawn. They had a confidence, and therefore they encouraged one another. So let's take a moment or two just to stop and think. Think of our own lives, and give thanks for someone who's encouraged us spiritually, who's encouraged us to think about Jesus Christ, who's encouraged us in our Christian faith. Let's stop and think. Or if we're not yet Christians, someone who's been helping us to think about Jesus. Let's take a moment or two to think. And then silently, quietly, just to give thanks. And then, think of how you could encourage somebody. You could encourage somebody who's feeling down to feel up. You could help someone to echo, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. How we could do that. Perhaps one of the lessons that you've learned from the way that someone has encouraged you. Let's think of this person. Think of him. Think of her. Think of the way in which Jesus understood people down to earth. Lord, grant me a sensitivity to understand him, to understand her. And then, Lord, help me to sense something of the reality of your message. That your message might be central in their thinking for the future. Lord, hear us as we say thank you. Lord, hear us as we think of that person and commit ourselves to be what you would want us to be in relation to them this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. And therefore it's probably appropriate that we move on to our next hymn that picks up this theme of the when your anchor hold in the storms of life. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure. This note of the certainty of the hope we have in God.